Welcome to Growth Marketing Today, where marketers, designers, and product owners level up their growth marketing chops from experts in today's top startups. Here's your host, Ramley John.
Welcome to episode 70 of Growth Marketing Today. I'm your host, Ramley John, and I'm here on a mission to help marketers and founders like you sharpen their marketing skills by talking to some of today's top experts. Today, I have Ryan Bednar. He is the CEO and co-founder of YC-backed Rank Science. Now, when you think about A-B testing, the first thing that comes to mind probably is optimizing the conversion rate of two versions of a web page or an app against each other to determine which one performs better. But Rank Science, a YC-backed company, built technology that enables company to get this A-B test their SEO initiatives with one line of code. In this episode, Ryan talks about how Rank Science sits next to your website and makes hundreds of experiments to tweak your HTML for improved page rankings. In episode 70 of Growth Marketing Today, you'll learn how does A-B testing SEO work? Second, how A-B testing increased CodeOwl's organic traffic by 57%. And third, big mistakes a company make when it comes to SEO that you can avoid. I have created a growth cheat sheet with all the actionable tips that Ryan gives out in this episode. This is really a fascinating one. So download it now. Why take notes about this podcast episode when you can just steal mine? You can go to growthtoday.fm/70, or you can find that link in the description. Before we jump in, I just want to thank those who made this episode possible. These folks help cover the cost of hosting and marketing tools so I can focus on getting amazing experts that you and I can learn from. Thank you for the sponsor of this episode. It is Rank Science. Rank Science is the easiest way to grow organic traffic and get your content ranking higher in Google. If you are in SEO, this thing is super cool. It allows you to A-B test your SEO. You can sign up for our free 30-day trial at rankscience.com/growth today, or you can find that link in the description of wherever you get your podcasts, whether that's Apple, Google, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, wherever it is, there will be a link there in the description. Also, you'll get the show notes there so you can follow along at the time and topics that we're talking about. Well, enough about this. Let's jump in my chat with Ryan. Hey everybody, I have here Ryan. He is the founder of Rank Science, and I'm super excited to talk about what he's building and working on. A-B testing SEO, really fascinating. I've never heard of that, but before we get there, how's it going, Ryan? How are things with you?
It's going well, man. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
No, I'm excited as well. Where are you calling from this afternoon, morning?
So I'm calling from New York City, where I am at the moment, but we're actually based in San Francisco.
Right, because you got through YC, right? So I'm going to talk about that as well, but New York City. That's cool. We're not that far from each other. I'm based out of Toronto, Canada, so, you know, like an hour's flight. I could have flown down there if I had the time.
Amazing. And you went to Waterloo, right?
I did. Why? Is there a connection there? I know there's a lot of Waterloo folks that went through YC.
There is a huge Waterloo YC community, and also Silicon Valley is just full of Waterloo folks.
Yeah, that's totally true. That's why I say, hey, I'm from Waterloo, because people in Silicon Valley knows that. Before we talk about Rank Science, and I keep saying it because I've never heard of it, A-B testing SEO, can you share your journey of how you started Rank Science? Like, where did the idea come from, and how did you get to where you're at right now?
Yeah, totally. I'm happy to share a bit about my background. So I have a background as a software engineer, more specifically a web developer. And I've been involved with a few early stage companies that sort of led to my interest in SEO. And I guess I was the first employee at SeatGeek. They're based in New York. They sell sports and concert tickets. And early on, we wanted to rank for terms related to people buying tickets. There was no SEO team. There was no marketing team. So that fell on engineering. And so I quickly had to learn, okay, the terms that you put in your title tags, that, you know, that's what shows up in Google as the blue link. And, you know, if you want to rank for particular terms, you should include content, you know, relevance to that topic on the page. And then also, hey, like how you interlink between these pages, that stuff matters. And so after I left SeatGeek and started another company called TutorSpree, which was an online marketplace for tutoring. again, I was sort of the engineering lead, and SEO was huge for us. So SEO was like 90% of our customers. And so again, I was a web developer spending, you know, at least half of my time focused on SEO tasks. That company ended up not working out and was kind of sold for parts, but was a really great learning experience. And then I started doing SEO consulting for Y Combinator companies. And I actually, I was kind of reluctant to do it at first. Like, to me, SEO was sort of this, I don't know, kind of like shady activity. And I didn't know if I wanted to associate myself with it. And but I was encouraged by a few folks, like, hey, you're actually good at this. And as a software engineer, you understand, you know, how to actually implement these different strategies. And so I warmed up to it and kind of reluctantly embraced the identity of an SEO. And now it's kind of funny to look back at that. So I started working with a bunch of Y Combinator companies. One of my clients was a company that was really taking off, and that was Seven Cups of Tea. And they're an online therapy emotional support system, really amazing business. They help millions of people every year for free who need someone to talk to or need emotional support. And of course, you can also book with a trained licensed therapist as well. And so I continued honing my SEO skills there, did that for about 2 years. And meanwhile, I was building SEO A/B testing tools for my customers as a consultant, and then also in-house at Seven Cups of Tea. And realized when I was getting ready to leave Seven Cups that, you know, hey, this is something that I should productize. And this is something that I've now built by hand for like 4 or 5 people. And, you know, I should see if I can build this as a tool. And that's where the initial idea for Rank Science came from.
That's really fascinating. First of all, how did you get connected with Y Combinator companies? Like, did you have your foot in the door already, or did you interview for YC before you started? Like, hey, I'm doing SEO.
Yeah, good question. It was through Tutorspree. So I've actually gone through Y Combinator twice. Tutorspree did it in 2011, which was like, now considered like the early days of YC, that there was only 40 companies in our batch when we did it then. And then when I did it again in 2017, there are something like 200 plus companies in our batch. So totally different ballgame.
Did it help you that you knew software engineering and web development to do SEO, especially the technical side of SEO?
It definitely did. I mean, I think especially early on when I was just learning about it. I was an engineer who was learning about SEO and was starting to get the hang of it and was starting to have some of my own theories about how things worked. But my main advantage early on was that I was a programmer. And so I could, not only would I go to a client and have a list of recommendations of hey, here's the changes I want to make to your site. Here's how I think your URL hierarchy should look. Here's the type of content I'd like to add. But you could add me to GitHub and I could just go and do it for you. And, you know, most SEO consultants, agencies, you get a long list of recommendations and that gets sent to your engineering team who's busy working on products and they have other things that they're doing. They're not really incentivized to work on SEO and unclear if or when that stuff ever gets done. So that was definitely my main advantage early on.
I don't want to use this term, but you're probably a full stack SEO engineer. Full stack is such a overused. There's full stack marketers, there's full stack engineers, and now, yeah. So you can go from analyzing websites, finding opportunities, and actually implementing, which is a great value prop that you have. I read somewhere that you did talk about how you built Rank Science was through building it out for clients as a consultant. I'm curious if you think that's a good way to come up with ideas in general, is to start off as a consultant and find problems and build something based on that.
I absolutely think it's a great way to start a business. If you're the ideal customer that you're building software for, you know, you can really empathize with the problem at hand. I actually think that in some sort of way, the earlier business that I talked about, Tutorspree, you know, we were building a tutoring marketplace, but our main customer was actually kind of parents paying for tutoring for their kids. And that was hard for us to like get in their brains. It took a really long time to learn like what they needed, what they wanted, because that wasn't really built for us. And with Rank Science, you know, I'm someone who's at the intersection of software engineering and SEO. And so, that, you know, in some kind of way, this was like the perfect business for me to start. And, you know, it's crazy to me that all these companies out there were rolling out huge changes across their websites, you know, based on best practices without testing. And that's the state of the SEO industry. I think it's slowly changing, but that's still very common. And anyway, yeah, I think building and to solve your own problems is the best way to start a company.
Yeah, and it's something that you're probably more passionate about it than if you, you know, the tutor spree was, you're targeting moms. You're not a mom, right? You might have kids, but you're a father, right? So that's really interesting that you're solving it, because now you're feeling the pain and you're solving things that you actually want to see. Before I jump on to talking about how to do SEO A/B testing, what is Rank Science? Like, what is it? What does it do? And how do you help other SEO folks and companies?
Absolutely. So Rank Science is advanced SEO software for data-driven companies. We have two products. Sort of our flagship product that everyone associates with us with is our SEO A/B testing platform. This allows people to roll out changes across groups of pages on their website to see how Google reacts and responds to those changes. So for example, you can run tests across title tags to increase click-through rates at the very top of your funnel. And you can test on-page changes, design changes, content changes, test adding, you know, different paragraph types, and see how Google reacts and responds to those changes over time. We also have a second product, which is our more entry-level product called Content Insights, which is a content optimization tool. And the way that that works is you basically enter the keyword that you're trying to rank for. This is built for content teams and marketing teams. Our software scrapes Google for the top 35 URLs that are ranking for that term. We scan each of those 35 pages using natural language processing, you know, to determine key topic and subtopic entities in common across those pages. And then we grade your content compared to top ranking pages to tell you how to improve it in order to rank higher according to Google's own knowledge graph. And so that's specifically useful for content marketing teams, and you know, the A/B testing platform is really for testing content that's already created or long tail landing pages.
Wow, those are pretty new stuff. I mean, especially the A/B testing. I want to get into the details of like how does that A/B testing for SEO actually work? You're talking about swapping titles, swapping maybe descriptions or certain paragraphs. I can't wrap my mind around it. How does that work?
Yeah, sure. It's a totally good question. It's still a newer concept, even though there's companies that have been doing this for years. And this is one of the fun things for me in launching this business. I started to hear from large businesses out in Silicon Valley that have been doing SEO A/B testing internally and just like have kept quiet about it because they see it as like a competitive advantage. And but when we launched, they're like, oh, this is interesting. Like, let's compare notes. How does your model work? How does our model work? And so the way that our A/B testing platform works is we run tests across groups of pages. Normal A/B testing runs tests across groups of users. And so in a traditional A/B test, say if you're using something like Optimizely or Google Optimize, you might have one landing page, say like your homepage, and you change the headline text from one phrase to another, or you change the main call to action button from green to red, and you see, okay, how many people click on the green button versus the red button? In SEO A/B testing, we can't run a test on a single URL. It has to be distributed across groups of pages. And the reason why is that if we were to randomly split one page in half, half the time we show one piece of content, the other half of time we show something different, and that would be probably considered cloaking in Google, and more commonly, like Google would probably just get confused as to what we're doing on one particular page. But if we roll out our variations across groups of pages, we can see how Google reacts and responds to those groups in aggregate. And so like a simple example that I would give is if you have a site, say take Airbnb, for example, and they have these location-based landing pages, you know, San Francisco vacation rentals, New York vacation rentals, they're all on the same front end template. And we could grab, using our software, you could grab 1,000 of those pages. It could be a bigger number too. It could be 10,000, 100,000, et cetera. We grab 1,000 of those pages, throw 500 of those URLs into a control group where we don't make any changes. And then we throw another 500 into a variant group. And in that variant group, we would apply the same change to all 500 pages. And so that could be a slightly different title tag. Maybe we add a promo offer, take 20% off. And then our typical testing cycle is about 30 days. We can run tests for longer, but we find that that covers, you know, say 90% of the testing through our platform. And at the end of the 30-day period, we sum up all the results in aggregate, clicks, and impressions for the two groups of pages. And we pipe them through our model that we've built, which is basically a form of a linear regression. And we calculate a metric called uplift for the two groups. And so at the end of this period, you know, we can tell you, you know, with some level of statistical significance, the variant group outperformed the control, or it didn't, or potentially it did worse than the control group.
That's really interesting that some companies are already doing that. So just to reiterate, you're actually launching a different page, but with the slightly variant in title tags so that Google doesn't get confused with actually loading the page.
Yeah, so it's actually, we're technically not launching a new page, but we're assigning certain URLs to the variant bucket. So an example of this is like, if we're going to use the Airbnb model, you know, say New York, San Francisco, Chicago get thrown into the control group. We don't touch those pages, but then our software randomly assigns some URLs to the variant group. And say Chicago, St. Louis, Seattle, they get thrown into the variant group. And so only on pages in the variant group do we make this title change. And the title change has to be the same across all of those pages.
All right. So that makes sense. And then you're comparing it based on the other stuff that's loading for that particular keyword, like other search results.
That's exactly right. The main metrics we take a look at are clicks, you know, clicks from Google. We want to send more traffic to you from the very top of the funnel, and impressions. So impressions for us are kind of a proxy for rankings. You know, if you're getting more impressions, you're getting more pages on page one. And we calculate a metric called uplift. That's a combination of clicks and impressions. The cool thing about this is that even if you're already ranking at the top of page one, say even if you have a ton of pages in the number one spot, you can extract more clicks from your existing pages, you know, just by improving the click-through rate. And just by making a lot of what we're doing is a lot of the title tag testing anyway, is how can we help customers make their titles more persuasive so humans want to click on them more often? And so, you know, that's a lot of fun.
What other things can you take a look at to split test? Like, can you take a look at, like, you know, descriptions, or like, what are other fields that you can, you know, split test or modify or change?
Really anything in the HTML document. So, you know, titles and meta descriptions are fun ones to start with, because those have a really big impact in a short amount of time. But, you know, anything in HTML document. So we have customers that use us almost exclusively for like testing design changes and UX changes. So you can swap in different CSS and HTML with our platform. We have folks testing different content types continuously. So, you know, say if you take a sample group of 500 pages, and, you know, on some of them you add different types of paragraphs, on some of them you don't, or you add different imagery, or you add different calls to action. There's a lot of exciting things you can test, especially because, you know, some of the engagement metrics with SEO now have a big impact on rankings. And so if you can increase time on site with a design change, you'd be surprised at how that can impact your SEO rankings.
That's really fascinating. So you know, you're right. Even the UX design, I've talked to a few folks where the design and experience on the site is one of the main things that Google is now looking at. So that's cool. You can totally change up the whole experience of the page. Was there any particular tests where, like, you were one of the highest uplift that you've seen? Can you give an example of, like, hey, we did this and then it resulted in this?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we have this case study on our site that we did with CoderWall a little while back. And CodeRoll is sort of like a Stack Overflow, questions and answers and tool tips for programmers. And what we realized was that programmers searching for certain instructions, or they're searching for help, and they want just like simple explanations or examples. And we added the keyword example in parentheses to their title tags. And this was across thousands of pages. And initially we saw something like a 20% boost or 25% boost when we ran the A/B test. And so we were like, oh, that's pretty good. That's a solid win. When this was rolled out to the rest of their sites after that A/B test, it doubled search traffic for all those pages. And it was just adding one word changed everything, but it really changed, you know, it really made these pages more persuasive for programmers to click on in Google. And it became like a virtuous cycle. The more people clicked on them, the higher they ranked over time. And that was pretty amazing.
That's just cool. I can't believe, yeah, that's, no, I can believe that, but like, wow, just one single word added in that just totally increased the organic traffic. You know, this seems like, well, it seems like a new thing for me as a marketer. I'm not sure if SEO community is already familiar with it. And you said some companies were doing it before. What are things that you're doing, you know, you and your team doing to educate the community about like, hey, if you're A/B testing your pages, you should also be A/B testing your organic traffic, because a lot of sites, their biggest source of traffic is organic. And, you know, if that's true, then, you know, you better them A/B test if you're a smart marketer.
Totally. Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, so I think especially if you should be doing SEO A/B testing, especially if you have lots of long tail pages. So if, you know, if your site is relatively small and maybe you have less than 100 URLs, A/B testing might not be a good fit for you. But if you have lots of long tail pages and you care about SEO traffic, it's a no-brainer to start SEO A/B testing, because it's super high leverage, and in a relatively short period of time, you can increase click-through rates and rankings through A/B testing. And I guess, you know, so in terms of educating the community, this is something that we're working on and we're trying to get better at. So we have some case studies. We have a bunch in the pipeline that we're trying to release, and we have a schedule for that. We're also involved with the Tech SEO Boost Conference in December in Boston that Catalyst puts on, which is a really, I think it's the best technical SEO conference out there. So we're super excited about that. And one of the unfortunate things is that we have some incredible results for customers under our belt with SEO A/B testing that we can't talk about.
And
so, you know, a lot of the case studies, I mean, especially with our bigger customers, you know, they don't even necessarily want, you know, to know that they're using XYZ software, because they see it as a competitive advantage, which I understand. So a lot of the case study things are like tests we run kind of pro bono for different businesses or smaller sites or our friends' businesses, et cetera. So we're trying to get more content out there, do more education around A/B testing for SEO. But, you know, I would say we could do a much better job of it.
When we come back in just a moment, you'll hear how Rank Science acquired their customers initially, how they price a service, and big mistakes companies make when it comes to SEO. I just want to thank the sponsor for this episode, Rank Science. Rank Science is the easiest way to grow organic traffic and get your content ranking high on Google. They have an AI-powered platform that gives your content team superpowers. It helps you get more value out of the content you're already creating. How it works is they have real-time search data and natural language processing to help you craft content that is highly relevant to the searcher's intent and maps out directly to what users are already searching for. That kind of information is very useful because Google is really focused nowadays in that search intent. This allows you to optimize past blog posts. Maybe things have changed for those posts that you've created, or maybe it'll help you plan out and create new ones, giving you a step-by-step plan for easy success. For customers with a lot of landing pages, you can actually leverage Rank Science SEO A/B testing platform to easily test which HTML changes cause an uplift in search traffic. As an added bonus, their platform also allows marketers to make SEO enhancement to websites without eating up precious engineering resources. RankScience is used by hundreds of companies to grow organic traffic, from startups to publicly traded companies, including customers like BuildZoom, Goldbelly, Sweetness, and Career Karma. Sign up for a free 30-day trial at rankscience.com/growtoday. You can find the link in the description of wherever you get your podcasts, whether that's in Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, wherever it is, there will be a link in the description there. If you don't like ads like this, support me on Patreon for as little as $2 per episode for an ad-free version of this podcast. You'll also know who I have coming up, and you'll have access to all of my past growth cheat sheets and be part of a private Slack group and have monthly video calls. Go to patreon.com/growtoday to help with the cost of maintaining and growing this podcast. You can find that link once again in the description of this episode. Enough about this, let's jump back in my chat with Ryan. I'm curious how you're acquiring your customers right now. I'm guessing, you know, this is something that once somebody, you know, gets good results, they would start talking to their other SEO folks and other marketers. So is word of mouth one of the biggest drivers of new customers right now?
It is the biggest. So, you know, right now we're getting really good word of mouth, you know, because of people hearing about RankScience success stories. You know, we've now been around for 3.5 years, and we're getting referrals for when people leave companies and they join a new company and they say, hey, like, you know what really helped our SEO at my last job was RankScience, and we should use that. And so that's really cool to see. You know, if you search for SEO split testing platform, you know, we do rank for that kind of stuff. But believe it or not, like, SEO isn't too big for us, because this is a newer concept that a lot of businesses haven't heard about. So we need to push it out to them. And then we are starting to do, and this year we are starting to do some outbound to, like, identifying customers ourselves that we think are a really good fit and just reaching out to them over email. Something we probably should have done a long time ago, but we're just starting to ramp that up. But definitely referrals right now is still our biggest.
Interesting. That's really fascinating. And it does make sense, because, like, how long has RankScience been around for? Like, typically in the early stage, like, referrals and word of mouth should be the driver. I think I remember seeing somebody from YC talk about it in startup school. Like, it needs to be, I think it's Adora Chung from one of the partners there. She said that referrals should be one of your biggest drivers, right?
Adora is really fantastic. I absolutely think so, because if that's not the case, then your product probably isn't good enough. And instead of focusing on growth, you know, you might want to go back into the lab and rework your product and make it better so that people are going to talk about it.
I want to talk about your sign up, because I noticed, I definitely do my research before I do any kind of interviews, and I need to talk to sales or sign up for a consultation first to sign up for the product. And I'm guessing because it's a new category, right? And it's a new thing. And you want to make sure people explain it right, and you want to make sure they're onboarded properly. Is there a particular other reasons why your team did it that way, where they have to talk to sales or somebody before they actually are able to sign up?
Yeah, it's a good question. So right now we have a relatively high bar for doing these demo requests. And, you know, so basically we check that sites meet certain criteria to be potential customers. One of those criteria is, like, number of index pages, if you're interested in the SEO A/B testing platform. So we want to work with businesses that we know the software can have a big impact on. And part of that is we've had a ton of inbound interest from folks who want SEO A/B testing, but their sites aren't necessarily a good fit for it. And, you know, if you just have, you care about a couple keywords, you have a dozen or more pages. And we've also had a ton of people who they're interested in SEO A/B testing, but they just want to, like, improve their blogs and their content marketing pages. And so we've actually listened to that, and that's why we built our content insights tool. So that's sort of our entry level product. I don't know when you're releasing this podcast, but I suspect by the time it's released, we will have a version of RankScience where you can just sign up with your credit card from the homepage, and that'll be for our content optimization tool. And then from there, folks can upgrade to the A/B testing platform, you know, if they're qualified or if they're interested. So, and part of that is the customers it's sort of like what enterprise buyers expect to talk to a salesperson. This is something that like I don't like that much, but it's kind of how business gets done. If we're selling, say we're selling to a big company that's publicly traded, you know, they don't really consider pieces of software that you just sign up with a free trial to be credible. They want someone who's going to walk them through a demo, who's going to answer all their questions and really cater the experience to them. And that's how they're used to buying software. And so, you know, to date, that's how we've set up our signup flow. But I should note that we should have this self-serve for our content optimization tool by the time this podcast is out.
You said something interesting. You said something that if people are hire, a larger enterprise company, they do expect being able to talk to somebody to walk them through like a salesperson or sales consultation. Is that who your best customers are right now? Are companies who are X number of employees, like who are your best customers at this moment before you launch this self-serve?
Yeah, good question. So we work, but believe it or not, we work with a dozen or more publicly traded companies. They have the strictest NDAs. So I don't know that I would love to name drop some of them and I could do that offline, but I can't do it here. But yeah, I think those sorts of companies, they are very happy to spend thousands of dollars per month for software that solves their problems. And in an SEO sense, if you can help them, if you through A/B testing, if they can increase their search traffic for a large website, you can potentially increase search traffic, 5 to 20% with a single A/B test. And so the value of that to a large organization with a market cap of billions of dollars is incredible. And those sorts of folks, I could tell you, would not be using our software if it was just, sign up for a free trial and enter your credit card. They want the whole onboarding enterprise white glove experience that they're accustomed to. And so that's why we have that kind of sign up for a demo. I was very conflicted about this for a long time. And you know who talks about this a bit is Patio 11 or Patrick McKenzie from Stripe talks a lot about the enterprise sales process and why these gates for requesting a demo actually make sense.
Yeah, they do totally want that. I'm curious about your pricing. It looks like it's based on clicks. How did you figure it out? Did you do some experimentation? I mean, you don't have a comparable. Like, it seems like you're kind of creating a new category. So you could probably make up your own numbers and be like, this is how much we charge. And if you can't pay it, then goodbye. And if you can, then hello.
Yeah. It's a good question. I mean, pricing is something we played around with a bit. So our entry-level products, our content insights, content optimization tool for content teams, starts at $295 a month for three users. That you can sign up with a credit card. There's no contracts. That's just month to month. And our SEO A/B testing platform starts at $595 a month for sites that get up to 100,000 clicks per month and then scales up from there. And, so that the A/B testing pricing in particular, for us, we're trying to map closest to how much value we provide. And so, if there's a site that gets millions of clicks per month from Google, the value of this A/B testing platform is significantly higher than if you're just doing 100,000 clicks per month, because of, 20% increase on a million clicks is 200,000 clicks. And so we're talking about, serious traffic if you were to compare it to what that's worth in terms of AdWords dollars. But then the other part of that too is that it costs us more, data storage, computation, et cetera, to run experiments across sites that have hundreds of thousands of pages and get millions of clicks.
I mean, I'm curious if you A/B tested your pricing or did you, I'm guessing you're trying to figure that out early stage. How did you land on those two numbers?
Yeah, it's a good question. So we actually started a bit higher. So we started, actually, I should explain this. We started, in order to start the company, the software worked, the A/B testing tool worked, the analysis worked, but there was a bunch of kind of hands moving behind the scenes in order to make it happen. And so our first product was really a mix of product and services, where we were running SEO experiments for you and whatever. So that was bundled together. And so we could charge a higher price, a couple thousand dollars a month. And as our software has gotten better and is truly stands on its own in a self-service capacity where customers can run their own experiments without us holding their hands. You know, we've tried to price in a way that reflects that. So we've experimented with different price points, and that's how we've landed where we're at.
Okay, that totally makes sense. I mean, it does kind of make sense to start off high and then go low, because once you've set it the price at a low bar, it's harder to get to charge for a hamburger from like $5 to $10 than it is to say like Five Guys, which sells their burgers for $15, and all of a sudden next day it's like, oh, we've cut our prices down to $10. Everybody's gonna be happy about that, essentially. What do you think about the criteria for differentiating companies? And you've been talking a little bit about this already, but companies that can really benefit from SEO, what kind of companies are those that can, you know, get more from your platform?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think and I get this a lot from people who they want to invest in SEO. They're not sure if the timing is right, and they're not sure of, you know, the ROI versus other channels. And I think investing in AdWords and Facebook is really alluring because you get instant results, but it's also incredibly expensive. And those are channels that you don't want to get addicted to. And you know, SEO out of all of the channels has the highest ROI if you can get it to work for your business, and you know, but it's the longest time frame to really test it and get it set up. And so what I ask people is, you know, are there people out there searching for exactly what your business offers right now, and is your business still going to be around in 4 to 6 months? Because if those two things are true and you have the budget, then you should probably start investing in SEO. The sooner you get started, the better. And because it's going to be higher ROI than these other channels, because so many people use Google as an extension from their brain to the internet, you know, if you can get on page one for the terms that are relevant to your company, it can change your whole business.
I know you started off doing, you know, SEO consulting for YC companies. What are some of the biggest mistakes that you found was like, oh, come on, this again? This mistake again.
As a consultant, I think people just creating a lot of thin content, and you know, SEO is really all about content relevance. And you know, one crappy way to do SEO is just to, you know, do keyword research on terms that matter to your business. Pick 100 of those terms and create like really light landing pages that target those terms that maybe only have like 100 to 200 words of paragraph text, but those pages are like all the same. Those are kind of like doorway pages. And that's something that I think people always seem to want to do. I think naturally, actually, if you get programmers for the first time interested in SEO, that they're always thinking about how they can like outsmart Google, and that's like one of the things they come up with. and I love programmers. I'm a programmer, but so that's something that I would see a lot. And so, you know, I think instead of creating 100 pages that are really light and thin on content, you know, create, you know, 20 pages that are really good and cover all the relevant terms, map to the searcher intent of the user, and then figure out how to build links to those pages. And that's going to be a lot more valuable than just like going for quantity over quality.
I'm just about to wrap up. What is your one piece of advice to founders or even people who want to start a company? What should they do? And what is your one piece of advice to them?
I have two pieces of advice. Is that okay?
Yep, totally fine.
All right. So one is, you know, make sure you're really excited about the idea that you want to work on, because it could take you 5 to 10 years to really see it through. I see a lot of smart people who I care about, I'm friends with, you know, starting businesses just because they want to start a business, and they're kind of enticed by the idea of being a founder, and they, you know, start a business for starting a business's sake, and they quit 6 months in because they don't really care about the problem that they're solving, or, you know, they pivot every month or two because they don't care about the problem that they're solving. And, you know, I think that's not a great way to start a business. And so, you know, spend a lot of time on the idea, make sure it's something that you think could be really big, and also something that you really care about, that you could see yourself working on for 5 to 10 years. And then the other piece of advice is that, you know, day-to-day life as a founder, you know, it's never as good or as bad as it seems. And so there's really big highs and lows. You know, on days when we're closing deals with large companies, it feels like we're on top of the world and we're taking over. On days where, you know, something breaks or we lose a deal, you know, it feels like you're failing and everything's gone shit. But that's just what being a founder is like. And so if you could stay somewhere in the middle there, you know, it's going to help you, you know, keep your company alive, keep you on your path to get to the next stage.
Those are good advice. I'm curious also, what was the best advice or most memorable moment you had at YC? I didn't know you went into it twice. So, you know, did somebody, one of the mentors or another company, really gave you some really good advice that like really help you build Frank Science?
Oh man. I mean, I think I've received so much good advice from YC in general. If I were to flash back to the first time I did it, I mean, we worked directly with Paul Graham and we had whiteboarding sessions where he was tearing apart our product. And I was the person who built our wireframes and designed the user experience. And so for him to tear it apart was really humbling, but he was like, he was totally right about everything and incredibly smart. So that was a lot of fun. And then I guess the second time through, you know, we worked closely with Michael Seibel and Adora Chung, and you know, it's amazing to me, those folks are so smart. If you just we work on our startups 24/7, and they're only thinking about your company for 10 minutes at a time when you have them, 20 minutes at a time when you have them. And you know, the advice that they give you is so spot on, even though they're almost never thinking about your business. And so I find those two folks to be absolutely brilliant. I think, you know, one of the pieces that Michael gave us, I think, was transformational. Was, you know, one, build a business that you yourself want to run, and you know, in some sort of ways, early on, our business was kind of something like a. Because we were a mix of services and software, it felt a bit like a treadmill, you know, like we were, you know, servicing all these clients and whatever. And you know, the way to scale it is to build a self-service product that solves our customers' needs, that is actually scalable, where, you know, I'm not on the phone with our customers all day running experiments for them. And so and then also to align our pricing as close as we can to the value that we're providing. If you have the same incentives as your customers, you know, you can grow and have success and have wins together. So those are just some of the things I learned from YC folks. The other thing that I thought was really valuable the second time around is they have these group office hours, and group office hours are almost like group therapy. And you always think when you're starting a company that like everyone else's company is better than yours, and everyone, you know, you kind of have this like imposter syndrome. And going through group office hours, you see all the flaws everyone else's business has, and every startup is, you know, has some flaws internally and is sloppy internally as you're getting started, and you know, that helps you get over the kind of the imposter syndrome and gives you the support you need to get to the next stage. So I thought that was fantastic too.
I really like that group therapy one I've had. And it ties back to what you just said with your advice that it's never as good or as bad as it's going to seem. Just two more questions. I just started asking these questions because I, you know, I thought it was really smart or really enlightening. How much of your success of where you got so far you can attribute to luck, and how much is it through, you know, through your sheer effort and hard work and your programming skills?
Oh man, that's a really good question. I don't know how much of it is due to my programming skills. I think, I want to say it's something like there's definitely a lot of luck involved, and especially like getting hooked into the YC network and some of the mentors I've had, tremendous luck. It might be something just like 70% hard work and effort and 30% luck. I was going to say 50-50, but I'm going to go with that. I think 70% after 30% luck. There's a ton of luck involved for sure. But, you know, in starting a startup, you know, there's also just like a ton of grit and endurance that's required, because there's going to be lean times, there's going to be tough times, and, you know, can you withstand those tough times to get through to, you know, to help the company grow or to get to the next stage or the next fundraising milestone or the next big customer. So I think there's a lot of grit involved in it too. So 70-30, that's my answer.
Awesome. No, that's there is no wrong answer to this. I wouldn't know how to answer that myself. Just last question, where can people find out more about you and more about Rank Science online?
Yeah. So go to rankscience.com. Follow us on Twitter at Rank Science. I'd love for you to try out our content optimization tool. It's built for content and marketing teams, and it's a dead simple way to increase your search traffic. Send me any feedback you have at ryan@rankscience.com or follow me on Twitter at Ryan Bed. Also, I did the Indie Hackers podcast, which you can check out if you want to learn a little more about Rank Science.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, Ryan.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, that's it for this episode. Wow, that was a lot of great information. I want to share with you my three key takeaways. First, focus on the problem that you really care about. It could take up to 5 to 10 years to build a really successful company. Spend a lot of time on the idea and make sure it's something that can become big. Second, it's never as bad as it seems. At Y Combinator, Ryan thought that everyone's company was better than his. But during a group office hours, he realized that other founders are going through the same thing. Third, when it comes to content, focus on quality over quantity. The biggest mistake Ryan saw as an SEO consultant is that companies focus on targeting hundreds of keywords and created really light landing pages that doesn't go deep enough. It's better to create 20 pages that are really good and cover relevant terms mapped to search intent of that user, then figure out how to build links to those pages. Did I miss something? Share with me your takeaways from this episode on Twitter at RamleyJohn or email ramley@growtoday.fm. Before I end, I just want to thank those who made this episode possible. These folks help cover the cost of hosting, marketing tools, and all the things that I use so I can focus on getting amazing experts that you and I can learn from. Thank you to the sponsor of this episode, Rank Science. They are the easiest way to grow your organic traffic and get content ranking higher in Google. You have an AI-powered platform that gives your content team superpowers. It helps you get more value out of the content you're already creating. You can sign up for a free 30-day trial at rankscience.com/growtoday, or you can find that link in the description. I also want to thank my Patreon supporters, my early adopters, Jamie Ward from Las Vegas, Veronica from London, UK, Fabrizio Martius from Brazil, Nicholas Vargas from Sydney, Sam Grover from New Zealand, Joseph Valenti from Quebec, Louis Nichols from Switzerland, and Anwar from Canada. And if you've been listening to a few episodes, please also support me. You can, first of all, share a quote on Twitter or LinkedIn or tell a friend about this podcast. Second, you can join the Grow Today mailing list where I'll email you the Grow Cheat Sheet directly to you. Third, you can support me on Patreon for as little as $2 per episode for an ad-free version of this podcast. And you'll also get access to a private Slack group and a lot of more other cool perks. Well, that's it for this episode. Until the next one, and as always, keep on growing.